that isn't the case, and we have to recognize it often comes from people that we know and sometimes people that we love.
Aloha! Aloha, Terrell!
Aloha, Deidre!
And aloha to everyone out there, too!
Yes, aloha to you, folks!
Because right now, we are about to dive into some pretty interesting topics.
One's relationships and hardships.
To one's childhood and trip down memory lane.
That's right, we are ready to talk it all.
So join us in our show,
DT Talks.
Aloha, friends!
Aloha, my friends and family. Welcome back to our new episode here of our DT Talks podcast, Season 2.
Yes. Okay, I'm feeling a little bit nervous now, Terrell, especially for this episode. So how are you feeling?
Yeah, I feel like this episode specifically, I'm very, very nervous because it's something we don't talk about it in public. I mean, also, especially, there were Asians. So it's a part of the topic where we don't usually bring up in a family talk.
That is very true.
Yeah, but I am feeling nervous, honestly.
And in regards to what Terrell is saying, today's topic, it's going to be quite sensitive because we're going to discuss issues like consent, assault, and sexuality.
Yes, and just a heads up for our listeners that these issues might be a little bit sensitive and a little bit uncomfortable to hear. So if you feel a little bit uncomfortable, you can tune out. But if you're feeling that this is something you need to hear, be sure to stay along with us and listen with what we have to say.
We definitely agree. It's going to be worth listening to. But before we get to that, we will be having a guest for this episode and we will introduce him in just a bit. But shall we start with the news, Terrell?
All right, let's get to it. This is Uncle Taro back at it again in another news for our goodnewsnetwork.org. Today's news we have, in America, 8 in 10 Americans say positive memories have been a lifeline during the pandemic. Very wholesome. As I quote in the article itself, it says 73% said that they are reminiscing much more often these days, according to the survey of 2,000 American adults. Respondents report telling an average of 8 more personal stories each week than they did prior to the pandemic. 84% also have been sharing more photos with each other during this period. At this point of pandemic, a lot of people of course feel very depressed, very don't know how to feel because they cannot go out, they don't spend time for themselves anymore. But because they look at their own photos, they feel more lifeline, they feel that they're more connected to their family. So it's a good thing because Uncle Taro really value family time. Because Uncle Taro don't have any niece and nephews yet, or even...
Oh, really?
Oh, that's a lie, but okay. Yeah. But Uncle Taro don't have children. That's why I don't know how to feel what I should feel when I look at pictures with children. Maybe Uncle Taro one day get married will not feel as depressing.
Okay, that's like a call from Uncle Taro. Yes. If anyone's out there.
Uncle Taro is single and very available.
If anyone wants any nieces or nephews, yeah, just go on.
One main takeaway about this awesome article is that if you feel like you are very depressed, reminiscing in pictures of your family, your friends and all that can help you boost your wonderful positive mindset. Instead of sulking all the bad things that's happening, we already know this world is really so corrupted, but with you looking at the pictures will help you become more positive.
Do you find yourself doing that, Uncle Taro?
Uncle Taro have no time to do that. I need to focus on selling MSG to everyone.
Oh yes, that's important for you.
Yes, it's part of Uncle Taro's business. But in terms of that, this is Uncle Taro teaching you all to be more positive so that we can be more happy. Make sure to always look at the picture of your family and tell them you love them because that's very important.
Aww, that's such good advice from Uncle Taro. But yeah, if anyone has noticed during this pandemic, pandemic, I feel, yeah, it's definitely more of an increase where people are sharing photos, sharing stories. That was the news from Uncle Terrell. So yes. Remember this little segment now? Let's turn to the funny things people say or do on a day-to-day basis, okay? So this one, someone just wrote this. Overheard from a child on the playground. The child said, "I'm sad." Wait, there's nothing to be sad about. Okay, I'm happy. That's what the child said.
Okay.
Did you get that? I hope you got that because...
No, I don't get what that means, but...
No, the child first said, "I'm sad." Oh no, wait, there's nothing to be sad about. Okay, I'm happy.
Okay.
Never mind. Cut that out then. Oh, find another one. Okay. So this one, another person put this. "I was at a party and a drunk girl passed me on the phone crying, 'I'm trying to find Marco,' but people kept yelling back, 'Polo.'" Okay,
That's more funny.
Okay, I'll just write another one. Okay, in the store, as two women say a quick hello to each other, a little girl asks loudly, "Mommy, is that the lady you don't like?" Dun, dun, dun. This is why, guys, you don't gossip in front of children. Oh. Okay, at least that last one was successful.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I didn't get it at first for the first like 5 seconds, like what? And after that I'm like, okay, that's so funny.
It's funny, it's just the way I'm delivering it, guys.
Okay, either way it's funny, it makes yes. sense, it connects.
Okay, well that was a little sense of humor because we want to lighten things up before we get into this part of our episode. So now to a really important discussion, we're happy to have our special guest with us today.
Yes, we'll have him introduce himself.
All right, everybody. So I'm Thomas Johnson. I was raised in Logan, Utah, all the way up north where Utah State's at. But my family moved out here while I was on my mission, serving a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Washington State. And they moved out to Hawaii. My dad teaches Brigham Young University of Hawaii. And so as soon as I came home from my mission in 2016, I started my schooling here at BYU Hawaii. And I've been here since for the past 4 years. And it's a great place. I'm super happy to be in Hawaii and super happy to be here at this podcast today. So this is good.
Yay!
Yes! Good stuff is happening.
Thank you. We're so excited to have you, just so you know, because you're probably one of the pros of talking about what we're going to talk about here today.
I don't think that's the case, but I'm happy to have the discussion about it.
Awesome. Yes. You know what's interesting about this?
Thomas will be good at discussing for sure, because I've had classes with him and he's always had a lot of good things to say during class and such.
You too, Deidre. Thank you. I appreciate that. I think we'll jump into the subject later, I'm sure, but it's an important subject that discussions have to be happening about. And so it's great to happen on this platform where hopefully many viewers can listen to it.
Ditto.
Exactly. Okay. Good stuff is coming.
Well, thank you for joining us, Thomas. And before we chat more with you, we're going to get into our topic by first listening to these audio clips about the topic with our friend.
Yes, we asked people two very specific questions, which are, do you know the Me Too movement? And do you personally know anyone who's sexually assaulted?
It's very sensitive, but let's hear what they have to say.
All right, here we go.
Hi Deidre, so I haven't heard about Me Too movement before, so I'm sorry. But the second question, I know someone, that's me. I think I was in elementary school, so that day I was going home from my friend's house. We were running because, you know, like we love running when we were younger. I don't know, I think I met this guy who was my friend's neighbor, but I think it was only me and him. He just suddenly stopped me. Then he touched my private part. So I didn't know what that was, but it felt uncomfortable and I didn't tell my parents.
Hello, this is Manu from Tahiti. Do you know about the Me Too movement? No, I do not know about the Me Too movement. Sorry. Have you personally know anyone who has been sexually assaulted? Yes, I know people that have been sexually assaulted. Girls, boys, I still remember the stories.
So I've heard about the Me Too movement,
although I do not know exactly what they do everywhere, but I do know that it is a movement to raise awareness about sexual harassment, especially against women, and to help women speak up about this issue. I do not know many women who experience very extreme sexual harassment, but I do know some who've had been verbally and emotionally or like psychologically harassed. Often it happened at work, and most often in actually the tourism industry. When I used to work in a hotel, it came from either coworkers or even guests who made inappropriate gestures or things like that, or some verbal cues that hinted toward things related to sexuality. I think I remember maybe a few years, like 10, 15 years ago, I do remember my parents had been asked to take a girl in when we were still teenagers for a few days because apparently something happened at her house and she needed a safe place before the government or like the social workers could be able to help her find a new place. And it was related to sexual harassment, but I don't know what exactly happened or to what extent and what happened after she left our house, but probably what I know about sexual harassment or people that I met who've been sexually harassed.
Yes, I'm aware of the Me Too movement. It's about empowering women to come out and share their stories about sexual assault and whatnot. I know of a couple of people who have stories who have been affected by this.
Surprisingly, I first heard of the Me Too movement during a question and answer portion of the Miss Universe 2017. This was asked to Miss Jamaica, and that's when I learned that it's a social movement against sexual abuse and sexual harassment by powerful and prominent people. I was really curious why it's called Me Too. I guess it's all about when girls are asked if they have experienced sexual abuse or sexual harassment. It's kind of like, oh, me too. So it's a very, very powerful platform in making people know that there's things like this that's going on. And unfortunately, I have a very close friend that has experienced sexual assault back in college. It happened in a library where she was studying. She was at the very corner, and someone who's not a student did something really nasty behind her back without her knowing. I'm not gonna go into details, but it was really traumatic for her, and I'm really sad that she has to go through that kind of experience. It ended up him being reported to security and was blacklisted on campus. Women have to be really careful. Even if, you know, you feel that you're in a very safe place, things like that can happen.
Heavy. Yeah, very, very heavy. Definitely. Honestly, I thought I was gonna have a lot of mixed kind of answers, but a lot of them are drawn towards to something very similar, is that people have experienced this before, and it is an unfortunate fact for a lot of people, especially in our country, in Malaysia, where it is kind of mentioned, but it's never really promoted. And I feel like a lot of people, not just Malaysia, I think around the world as well, people don't notice everyone gets sexually assaulted. And whether it be on campus or in public, it does happen.
Yeah, it happens to anyone.
Yeah, I think it's really important just to assume. I mean, we all suffer from hardships in our lives, but never be ignorant to somebody else's hardships, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to assume that everybody's been sexually assaulted, but we should treat everybody in a way that we don't put them in an uncomfortable position, regardless if they have or haven't. It's important to be aware that this does happen, and it's unfortunate on how often it does happen. It's sad, but it's true, and I think as we become aware of that and we address it, that this subject will become easier to address, and the healing for those victims will become more accessible and more readily happening.
One of them, I remember, it caught my ear when she said, I think it was the first one, she said that she herself was harassed when she was in elementary school. So start so young, and even as a child, you wouldn't know how to talk about it with people. I can't imagine having to carry that with you throughout the years as well.
As kids, kids, I feel like there's a lot of things we are so scared in telling our parents because, you know, we're scared that our parents are gonna get mad at us or scold us, especially in the Asian community. We are so terrified of what they're gonna do to us that we're not even willing to tell them. And that's a sad part about life, to be honest. And that's part of my experience, is because I live with fear, and that's why I don't tell them a lot of things. Is that same to you too, Deidre?
But yeah, I would say yes. When I was younger, yes, it was scared to tell my parents of what they might do. Growing up as well, I realized it's just something we don't know how to communicate about. We never had the talk. We never talked about sensitive topics like this. Like, we would just dismiss it, just think, okay, it's not going to happen, so no need to bother about it. We're taking good care of you at home and such. So I feel that's also part of the reason why, like, they just feel it's not going to happen to them and they just don't know how to talk about it.
I think it's really up to us to kind of change that norm. With children, we're going to talk to children about sexual assault in a different way that we're going to talk to peers and in a collegiate level about it. But we can still talk about it and make it a subject that is able to be addressed. And I think it's up to us when we have children to be able to approach them in a way that makes them feel comfortable and to educate them and help them know that we as parents and hopefully other people are there to be able to discuss these difficult subjects, and that this doesn't have to be an impossible subject to address. It will certainly be uncomfortable for many, but we can address it and we can help others learn how to do so as well.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. In terms of that, Thomas, did your parents teach you anything about sexual assault or anything similar to that?
That's a great question. You know, I don't remember ever sitting down with my parents and having that specific conversation, but my parents always created an environment at home that I was able to talk to them about something if it made me uncomfortable or not. And I was really grateful for that. And I think there are, of course, some things that I would change in my household growing up that my parents didn't do. And that's what we're supposed to do, is we're supposed to learn from our parents and learn from the things they didn't do. But while they might have not had that specific question or that conversation about sexual assault and what it is and how to address it, they did provide an environment for me that I could discuss it with them if I had to. And so I was grateful for that.
That was a very good experience that you had of your parents providing that environment for you, yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. They're good parents.
Yeah. I think it takes a lot of courage to have parents to teach about this too sometimes, because if we reflect with our parents, they might have not had that kind of experience before, but it does help to have the parents to talk about this so that kids will be comfortable to talk about almost anything to them, so that when they feel not safe, if we're going to touch about sexual assaults, then they'll be comfortable talking to you, and then you'll be able to know how to help your children. Honestly, I don't have children yet, same with Uncle Terrell, but but it is important to not only teach your children what's important in life, but to actually talk to them and be their friend, so that they are aware of what's going on and how to help them.
Absolutely. Yes.
But since we are talking about this, we want to help people also understand like how serious this is, because we have some statistics to share about rape and sexual assault.
All right, we're going to state down everything we know right here.
We researched on.
Yes, and I'll just start with mine. 25% of sexual assault cases were reported to the police in 2018.
Most individuals offender, it was someone they knew.
81% of females were sexually assaulted before the age of 25, 71% for males.
Yikes, that's a really high number.
Oh yeah.
1 in 5 women experience sexual violence in their lifetime.
And finally, 1 in 14 men experience sexual violence in their lifetime. Thoughts on that, guys?
Well, it's definitely hard to hear numbers like this and understand what's going on. I think one thing to, again, I feel like I'm just echoing myself, that it's important just to treat people in a way that we don't make them uncomfortable if they have experienced things like this. It's definitely prominent and it's happening, and sometimes we don't even realize if it's happened or not.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just crazy, because the one that I really notice is when they say that the numbers happened before the age of 25. So you cannot imagine how much this is happening to people of different ages, even before the age of 25. And that is the time that you really want to feel most secure, like you're safe and such, especially as kids, teenagers growing up. And then finally, when you're out on your own, like to college, you don't want to be experiencing all this.
Yeah,
absolutely. A question for you guys. Where did these numbers come from? And is this the United States? Is this worldwide? And do you guys have what year they were?
Say it was official numbers. And it is based in the United States only. And this one, it was last reported in 2018.
Yeah, even then, I feel like these numbers, you can still see that they're pretty high.
Too high, you know?
Too high, to be honest.
One number is too high, but this is a lot more than just one.
Yeah, and it's something all of us have to be aware of. And even if it's just in the United States, imagine other countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm always curious when I see numbers like this on what wasn't reported, you know? I think even what sexual assault is being more readily defined as time goes on, you know? And maybe what sexual assault was 50 years ago is different from what it is today. And today we recognize perhaps the negative effects of unwanted sexual encounters and better than what we did before. Yeah, I think these numbers are really enlightening. And I think as time goes on, we'll be even more aware of the realities of how often stuff like this happens.
The other thing that stood out to me is that it says here 71% of males who were sexually assaulted before they were 25 as well. And so I have a small experience, just so you know, guys, it only happened to me once, or maybe it happened so many times, I don't remember. I don't know. But I remember this one experience, and I want to share it because I want all of you friends, families, to not feel alone about this, because I have experienced this before. So this was me when I was 15. I remember I just finished school. I was eating dinner at that point. And when I got home, there was this drunk lady. She was my mom's co-worker, and all that time she was drunk. I could tell that she was, and then she couldn't speak English and she only spoke Chinese to me, or Mandarin. While I was eating dinner, she was stroking my hand and then trying to get closer to my arm and all that. I was like, I'm eating dinner. Like, I don't think I said anything, because again, you're a teenager, you don't question a lot of things sometimes. But I was
especially
like, okay,
adults,
especially adults. Forgot to mention that lady's age, she's like around in her 20s or something. And then as time went on, when I finished my dinner and I want to go to shower, she started to walk closer to me and kept following me. Also, I told her, hey, I'm going to shower, please don't follow me. When I already got naked, and then when I was in the shower already, and she started to knock the door asking me, hey, open the door, I want to see you. I'm like, I'm showering, please don't knock the door, please don't come in. And then she kept knocking and knocking, and then after for a few minutes she left. And then when I got dressed and went downstairs, and she started to chase me, and she started to grab my hand. I remember one of my friends being there, he's Indian, so he couldn't speak Mandarin, so he doesn't know what's going on when she was speaking Mandarin and all that. And I was really terrified. I didn't know what I was supposed to feel. And then I was crying, and then I immediately ran outside, and my mom was there as well. Like, at that point, the lady just went out screaming, no, don't run, come back. And then my mom got hold of the lady. I remember I was crying so hard because I don't know how to feel, and I feel so scared, and I don't know what's wrong. And my other friend was just there asking, what is going on, why is she doing this? And he really didn't know what was going on. But for me especially, I remember I was so terrified of the experience. And luckily, I think this is the only experience I've had where it's come close to being a sexual assault. But I feel like being a teenager, I felt very not secure, and I was really, really scared, and I didn't know what to do. So yeah, that's my experience. Just now you guys know.
thank you for sharing. That takes a lot of can be difficult to share. And I think it's really, I mean, this isn't a golden rule or anything, but I think for a lot of people, when they're ready, that sharing experiences can be really healing as well. And sharing in an environment that it's appropriate and that they can feel respected and comfortable. And so I think, Terrell, you share a great example, and hopefully listeners or anybody else can have that opportunity to share their experience in an environment that's healthy for them. And so I hope that those individuals can experience that.
Thanks for sharing that, Thomas.
No, thank you.
I agree with what you said, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure. Because even I didn't know that happened to Terrell, and I would have known if he didn't share it.
I saved this really for the special occasion.
You have to be aware of what people are going through.
Yeah, that's true.
Since Terrell shared that, let's try this next part where I'll be having Terrell and Thomas pull out this few anonymous sexual assault testimonies from survivors. We're just going to hear some different scenarios that actually happened to people. You guys have it ready?
Yep.
Yeah, I got it pulled up. Thank you. Were you asking for it? No, I wasn't, because I was only 7. It was in my house, and my abuser was a family friend, someone my family trusted. He was kind to me and kind to everyone. That didn't stop him from what he did to me. He started to kiss me, and I didn't understand what he was doing. He made me believe it was affection my parents weren't showing me. The kissing and fondling gradually became penetration, and he made me touch him and made me try to have sex with him. He manipulated me, saying that it was normal. No one would believe he could be capable of doing something like that. As he was a family man with two daughters of his own, he opened up my eyes, pleasures of my body, way earlier than I should have been aware of them.
If you report this, no one will believe you. Man can't get raped, was what he said to me before he raped me.
I worked as a photographer for the local newspaper. When I was putting myself through college, one day on a shoot, the top dog of the location pulled me aside and told me that he thinks about me when he is sleeping with his wife. He had an 18-year-old daughter, yet he felt that it was okay to not only sexualize me, but isolate me to my place of work where I couldn't lash out in retaliation. I told my boss, who said, "That's the industry, and when you look at it that way, you should expect it."
You can't tell your mom and dad, okay? I was 4 and my cousin was 17 when he said that.
It was that night that I was harassed by a guest in my workplace as I work in a tourist attraction, and I was still shaken by it. I told him about what happened to me, and since he worked close to HR, he told me he'd help me out. Despite for peace of mind, I listened to him, and he came to pick me up with his car, and without realizing, he started to drive out of campus, and I became scared. I asked him where he was taking me. He said, "Don't worry." It wasn't long before he took me to an empty house. There were no nearby neighbors, and it was dark at night. He told me to go inside the house. I did. He told me to go up the upstairs room. I did. Why? Because I was scared. I didn't know what else to do. My body felt numb, and I was stuck alone with him, shaken from the previous incident at work and scared of what will happen. I asked him, "I thought you were going to help me." He said, "I am." Then he started to undress me. I felt so guilty and dirty that night when he dropped me off back at campus. No one will believe me. He even has a wife and kids.
And that's so painful to watch.
Okay. Five different scenarios that Thomas and Jarrell read. What do you guys feel?
Man, it's just painful, man. I really don't like reading these because you can feel the pain just by reading it. It's just most cases, sometimes you think about the world and you say like it's a beautiful world, but sometimes there are dark things that we have to be aware of, and there are people who are suffering from this. And I feel like mentally it's hard for me to cope. It makes me very uncomfortable, but at the same time it really made me feel that these people had to experience this, and it's at their worst in their lives as well, and when they're young too. So to me, I feel really sad.
Yeah, I think one takeaway I get from this is recognizing that these things happen often not from strangers, that it comes from people that we know or people that we associate with. Mm-hmm. And so I think in society, we've really created this dark image that rape and sexual assault is in the alleyway by a stranger. Yeah. That isn't the case. And we have to recognize it often comes from people that we know and sometimes people that we love. When we realize that, we can better address it and we can better prevent it even as well. It's difficult to accept that, but it's sadly true.
I was just going to bring that up because it goes back to what we were saying about the statistics, that most individuals' offender is someone they knew. From these scenarios, it was all from someone they knew. Just letting you guys know, one of them was my own personal experience. The last one that Thomas read out, that was my experience when I was still in school. I remember carrying that guilt and that feeling with me throughout my time in school, even though I was working and studying. What helped me get through that, even though it helped me only later on, was actually talking about it first with someone I trusted. It took me so long to do that, to actually go up and share that with someone, and I did that first. And my friend then told me to also seek help from a professional. So what I did was I went to a therapist. The therapist was so helpful. So that's something I also want people to also know. If you have had your own personal experience with sexual assault, whatever it is, don't be afraid to reach out to professionals, because people may give this, they'll have this stereotype where, oh, if you go see a psychologist or something, you must be crazy or you're not mentally stable. But that's just wrong. You're just trying to discourage people from actually seeking real help.
Sometimes, like what Thomas and what Deidre and the statistics have said, is that sexual assault usually comes from people that you know and people you are close with, and sometimes it happens in your family household, which is the worst. I think it is the best idea for you to seek professional help so that you can be able to cope with what's happening in life. And because there's no one you can trust at that point, even with a family member, I think the best way for you to deal with this is to not only just find someone you trust, but find someone who actually can have you talk about this situation and to be able to professionally deal with that specific problem that's happening to you mentally.
Yeah, definitely. And I think another great resource is if you don't know exactly how to reach out to a professional or what that process is, I know a lot of ecclesiastical leaders can give direction. I know within the church that we're part of, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they have resources that are readily available to help those who have suffered from sexual assault. And I know that's not unique to our church, but many others as well. So if you can reach out to an ecclesiastical leader, many of them will be welcoming and help in finding the help and the healing that you're seeking.
It's always good to know that someone is out there to help. But yeah, I know it's very heavy. And even as I was hearing you guys like read that out, like my hands are getting cold and it's a little shaky, but people need to know that this things happen.
It needs to be addressed so that everyone will know what's going on. Sometimes we want to focus positive things in life, but we have to sometimes face reality that this is part of the world and it is something that we have to go through, unfortunately. Not everyone will be sexually assaulted, but when it does happen, you have to understand that you're not alone. If anything, we are here for you in this podcast.
I just want people to know that you are not objects, okay? Don't think of yourself as objects to be used. Please don't view other people as objects as well. I realize this as well, that there's a lot of terminology that's used, especially when people are talking about other people, where you'll hear them say, I want to tap that. And then that has even evolved to something even more violent. And then people start to look at someone and then they say, I want to smash that. Can you hear that? They're just talking about people as these objects.
Oh my goodness. That's why I've never used those vocabulary words. This is not just Americans. I feel like this is just everyone that's around the world. I've met a lot of people in life and I can't believe they use those kind of slur or those kind of language. I feel like, why would you do that to a person? That's not that. Thing has a feeling. You can't, that person has a feeling. You can't just, you can't just use those words. You know, it's to me, it's very hurtful. And that's why I'm so careful of the things I'm going to say, because not only you're offending them, but there's a chance that you might scarring their life because of what you just said. What are your thoughts on that, Thomas?
Our words definitely have a lot of power to them. And people use language in their lives because that's what they're raised with. And sometimes you don't think about the language that you use. And so I think the education when it comes to vocabulary is really important, you know, and vocabulary around the world changes. And it's really hard when you hear people use language like that, realize that they are describing somebody who has feelings and thoughts of their own. And so changing that vocabulary, I think oftentimes reverts back to an education where people just don't think about what they're saying. You know, they don't understand maybe the effects of what they're having, and it's certainly hurtful to hear, but I think it's better to educate, you know, when we hear stuff like that.
I think that's a key word for sure, education, where you educate people on how you should respect others and such, and that's very important, especially to start educating your kids young right now. You see like how many of these experiences happen to kids itself, and you want to be sure to educate your kids to know that should such a scenario happen, that they will be safe, that they'll be taken care of. And then you want to educate people to not do these things, like, please don't hurt others this way. Because many times as girls especially, you always hear you should take up self-defense, so you'll learn how to protect yourself from men. You rarely hear people say to men like, hey, don't do this to girls because this is what they're going through. We don't want them to feel safe out there.
There should be a really big emphasis about teaching sexual assault, sexual harassment, or anything that's related to that at school, because honestly, I've learned nothing about that at school. And you know where I learned
nothing.
It from?
Zero.
There's things.
No sex education.
Yeah, even when they do, they only teach it. They didn't even touch the surface about sexual assault, anything
not.
About
no.
that. And you know where I learned sexual assault from?
Where?
YouTube.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know anything about that. Like, if you think about it, my 15-year-old experience, I don't know what that was. I've only known just like slightly a bit. Oh, this is what it's like on TV shows, and it's exaggerated a little bit, but never emphasized a lot. That's the reality of the world, unfortunately. I really wish that people, or in society at least, would really put this as part of the priorities for us children, teenagers, and even adults to learn about this, and more importantly, to have trainings about this too.
Yeah, I think when it comes to like education, what happens at school, I think the Title IX was a great step forward for on the wave of sexual assault, where it really addresses it. And, you know, we all attended BYU Hawaii, and we understand that when we first go to school here, and I don't know if I remember, it's annually, where you take that quiz and it walks you through some scenarios and be like, okay, is this appropriate? Is this not? And I think Title IX was a great step forward, but there are many more things that can be done. And for those individuals who have a passion about preventing sexual assault, there are lots of places in the world for you to create a profession and change lives. Education is important.
Yeah. With what you said, Thomas, it really does relate to what we're going to ask after this.
Okay.
Our question to the audience as well, if you want to answer, you can answer with yourself. You can ask Thomas. What do you know about the Me Too movement?
So the Me Too movement, it started back in 2006 and really became prominent in 2007. The movement is revolved around individuals coming out and coming together about sexual assault and experiences they've had, and really being brave about sharing those experiences with others. For me personally, I remember the Me Too movement becoming the most impactful when hearing about Bill Cosby and the experiences that happened with him and individuals coming out. And I think it promotes a lot of people to talk about these difficult subjects, right? I know one controversial topic about it is people bring forth the Me Too movement in a way to abuse the Me Too movement to place blame or falsely accuse others. But I think one really important thing about the Me Too movement is never assume that somebody is using it as a way to blame somebody else. I think we should always act first in love and care and explore exactly what they're claiming before ever assuming that what they're saying is wrong. Me Too movement, I think, is doing a lot of good, and I think it's brought a lot of people peace and healing they were seeking after for years and years and years.
Wow.
So, and you know, I'm not sure. I'm only aware of the Me Too movement being active. I don't know active is the right word, but being really prevalent in the United States. Do you guys have anything about the Me Too movement over there in Asia, where you guys are, where your guys is? I mean,
let me answer mine really quickly.
Please, please, yeah.
Before Deidre, I know Deidre knows this a lot, but but for me, I have no clue what this was. Like, again, like re-emphasizing that there's no education about this. And even in social media in Malaysia, for me, when I was younger, I was kind of active in Instagram and Facebook, so I would at least have an idea what's going on. But no, I don't know what this was until like we were planning to do this podcast today. And I learned a little bit more from others that's been sharing about this, and especially you, Thomas, for sharing this information. I'm more aware, and I'm most probably going to look it up to, again, promote this kind of actions, because I am passionate. I'm the one thing I learned at classes as well is that I am a feminine, empathize people.
Feminist.
That's the word. Sorry. But I am passionate to people's feelings, and I really care about what people feel. People keep thinking like, why are you so sensitive for what you're going to say? You know, it's okay, just speak your mind. No, it doesn't work that way. It's not in my mind. I don't like to do that, not because I don't want to hurt their feelings, but because what Thomas said in the middle of the podcast is that, you know, words have powerful meaning. You can't just say it, because it will affect people harshly. What about you, Deidre?
Definitely agree with what you guys have been saying, and Terrell, we really admire you for sticking by us, you know. But yeah, definitely, yes, the Me Too movement, it was that effort, yeah, for social change. And in Asia, I remember seeing it in media and such, but that was like, oh, it's the news in the States, nothing much going on over here. You don't see people having campaigns and such, like doing the hashtag and whatnot. So it wasn't a big thing. And I feel it has a lot to do with the culture. One thing sadly about the culture, I would say, like for Asians or others, is that you'll see that men are the more dominant ones, where the woman would have to be more submissive to the men. Whatever the man says, especially if he's your husband, you have to listen to him. So I feel a lot of the women out there have these experiences going on, but they cannot really say anything because, one, it's part of their culture. They'll be shunned by other people. They'll be looked down by other people if they say anything, or even worse, in some cases, they'll be put to death. They'll be beaten up and such. It's really hard. It's really sensitive. And it's hard for them to also know that they are going through this alone. But I feel with the Me Too movement, if it could help them in some way, if they are aware of it, hopefully they'll know that they are being supported and that this, what they're going through, is something that's not okay.
And if there's anything we want you to do, listeners, right now, is to look it up, or what the Me Too movement is. I will do it for sure, because I really want to know more about this, so that you can be more aware of what's going on in life, and especially on sexual harassment, sexual assault, sex trafficking. Yeah.
Oh, and in Asia, it's really big. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, obviously, it's not emphasized that too much, and we're not going to jump into that, because our biggest topic right now is just sexual assault. No. So, there's obviously just more in terms of that. And it's not just unicorns and rainbows all the time. We have to know that people are hurt because of this.
Yeah. Yep. But for you, Thomas, do you know anyone personally who has been sexually assaulted and such?
Just looking at the statistics alone, right? We all know somebody who's been sexually assaulted. And I have people in my life who've shared experiences with me. But I've also know that there are many more that probably haven't shared their experiences, but have still gone experiencing. I mean, Terrell right here, I've been playing soccer with him for months and didn't know about it, right? So I think there are people that we know. I think there are a lot of people who have experienced that we don't even know of. Like, again, a broken record. I think it's really important to act and say things that wouldn't put those individuals in a situation that would make them uncomfortable or feel like they've done something wrong. So I think we all know somebody who's experienced it.
And knowing that, especially, what do you think for us individuals and society can do better with regards to sexual assault, harassment, and so forth?
You know, if there's something that we can do, I think it's be accepting and loving of those individuals and be aware of our language. I feel like one thing that's really prevalent in sexual assault is really taking the humanity out of it. We look at somebody and we say, this person is a victim and this person is a perpetrator. But both these people are real individuals. The perpetrator certainly might have experienced a similar thing to what the victims experienced, you know? And so I think as a society, as we become aware of creating environments where people can share what they've experienced, that not only victims can heal from these experiences, but also perpetrators can change perhaps habits and change of minds, that I think that's really important to address as well. Again, I think if there was a golden bullet to this question, and I think if there was a solution to this that was easily found and implemented, that it would already be solved. But I think this is a really hard thing that as a society we have to come together and approach. And I think as time goes on, we're becoming a lot better at it. You know, I think the Me Too movement's a great example of that, as sexual assault is being mainstreamed and being accepted in society to talk about more and more each and every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great start from what you said.
Yeah, and I think one thing that I feel strongly about is helping the perpetrators as well. I think helping those who've, you know, committed those acts. I mean, it's a terrible thing to go through those things, and to live with that would be extremely hard, you know, but it's not the end. As members of this church and as Christians, we believe in change and we believe in repentance. You know, I don't know if one of these listeners have been on the other side and not been the victim. The recovery in that way is also possible. It's difficult and immensely painful, as you have to admit to the things that you've done and make amends where you can, you know, but it's not the end of your life. You're not going to be a sexual assault for your life. You've done some wrong things, but forgiveness and repentance is possible. And so I think for those individuals, you know, reach out and start that change. And that might be by accepting and reaching out for legal actions to be taken place against you. Dealing with that today is going to be better than living with it forever.
There's something I want to add to that as well, because with the experience that happened to me, I remember after I had my experience, when I went to therapy, my therapist was taking it slow. She gave me time to slowly tell her my story. The thing I remember she asked me was, do I hate the guy for what he did? Honestly, at first, I didn't really care so much to hate him and such. Instead, I was more angry at myself. Then I realized that even though he did what he did, I somehow forgave him for what he did. But the one that was hard was for me to forgive myself. And then I talked to, of course, ex-CSGO leaders. They were telling me that they were surprised that I could easily forgive him. But they told me as well that it's important for you as well to forgive yourself to what happened to you.
That's true.
That's also something people who have gone through these things, like even if you have done something like this to someone, yeah, of course, it's not good. But but also learn to forgive yourself.
I think that everybody who's experienced this should know what was done to them isn't their fault. Being acted upon is not a choice. And so something bad might have happened and you're involved. It does not mean that you yourself are a bad person or to blame mm-hmm. for it, you know? And so I think that must be immensely difficult to process and understand and feel. And I hope that peace is something that those who have been victims can experience.
This just proves, like, Deidre and Thomas, both of you have the most golden hearts I've ever heard. So
don't even.
I'm not saying I won't forgive people, but I understand how you guys are feeling in terms of that. And we need more people like you also, because with people making these actions as well, we understand that, oh, they've done all these bad things and all that. There should be an act of forgiveness, even though it is very hard and to be the victim, but you have to understand that the person who's doing it too, we don't know how they feel.
You never know what they went through.
Exactly. They might have had a very traumatic experience. That's why they're acting this. We don't know the reason in particular. Yeah. Reality to it, as human beings, I won't say it's fair, but it is a way of a good act to let them know that they can also forgive themselves, that they can become good people, because I also believe in people. They can change if they want to.
Yes. Yeah. I never want that line to be blurred. And I hope that people understand that I don't want to mix those two up, because that's not good.
Definitely.
Basically, Thomas wants everyone to get along.
Yeah. Don't we all?
He's the peacemaker right there.
Don't we all?
It was a heavy topic. There's just so much to say and all. But again, keywords that I feel, education is important. Educate people about this. Educate your kids. Value people. Value yourself and people. And listen without judgment, guys. Please. That is one of the best things you can do for others, is to listen without judgment.
Exactly.
Let people tell their story. Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree. If anyone's listening to this and needs to reach out, I'm by no means a professional, but I do have two ears and they're always open to listening. So you can reach out to me on Instagram or on Facebook. My Instagram tag is just Thomas Kurt J. But yeah, feel free to reach out. Like I said, I'm not a professional, but I do listen. So I hope people can have change because of something.
And there you have it.
So kind.
Yeah. I mean, it's with us as a podcast host too. You can reach out to me, Termendiculous Terrell. You can look it up on our Buzzsprout page, and also Deidre.
We'll put it up on Facebook.
Yeah, we'll put it up on that too. And you can reach out to us if you need any help, if you need someone to listen to. I am a good listener. I can definitely re-emphasize that.
I am
a good listener.
I agree.
When I was in school, he was.
Terrell's a great man, great heart.
Thank you.
But yeah, thank you for both Terrell and Deidre for having me here today. I think this is great. You guys are doing great stuff with this podcast. And, you know, like I was telling Terrell before, even if one person listens to this, then hopefully one person is better because of it. Deidre and Terrell, thanks for having me today.
Thank you, Thomas, for being our awesome guest today. We definitely have the right guest to talk about this, because again, he has a golden heart. Thank you. Taken, by the way, guys, unlike Uncle Terrell. So
Uncle Terrell is still I've got a wonderful girlfriend.
Yes, but anyways, friends and family, once again, thank you so much for listening to our DT Talks podcast season 2. We hope what we have shared here today has helped you to understand more about the Me Too movement, especially about the sexual assault situation that we shared as well. And so be sure to once again follow us on our social media platform: Facebook, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Amazon Music as well.
Just gonna leave a quote by Ian McLaren. Says, "Be kind. Everyone you meet is carrying a heavy burden."
Love it.
Definitely.
Great quote to end this podcast. Thank you,
Dee. Yes.
Definitely. Again, thank you so much, my friends and families. And this has been DT Talks. Yay! Finally. It's in sync.
Bye, everybody.
That's a wrap.